Today's daf is Becharos Daf Vav. We are holding on, well, I didn't say sure yesterday, but let's just quickly chazer over what transpired since the Mishnah and Daf Hayamid Beis. The Mishnah spoke about a kosher animal that gives birth to a chamor, or something that looks like a chamor, or a chamor that gives birth to a sus. So the halach is, in both of those cases, it's pater min habecharon. The Mishnah darshins, because the pasuk says peter chamor shnei pa'amim. It says peter chamor twice, so we learn from there that in order for it to be chayvin peter chamor, both the yolad and the nolad needs to be a chamor. Both mother and baby need to be a chamor in order to be chayvin peter chamor. So the Gemara had just pointed out that not all Tanaim learned that din from that pasuk, because we have a braisa that quotes Rabbi Yossi Aglili, where Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, "Ach b'chor shor, ach yehu shor u'b'chor u'shor, b'chor kesev teaches me, ach yehu kesev u'b'chor u'kesev, Ubuchor Eis teaches me Achehu Eis Ubuchoro Eis." So we see that the mother and child have to be the same min from those psukim, not from the repetition of Peter Chamar. So the Gemara tries to figure out what each one does with the other one's drasha, why they don't hold of each other's drashas, what each one does with the other one's pasuk. So that is the discussion that we're having in the Gemara right now. So let's pick up from Rabbi Yossi Aglili, four lines from the bottom of the page at the end of the line. So, frak the Gemara of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, hi Petach Amar, Mayavilei. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who has this separate drasha of Bechor Eiz, Achehu Eiz, Bechor Eiz, Bechor Kesav, etc., Bechor Shor, I just did it backwards, it's the reverse direction, but whatever it is, he has all these drashas from Sukkim, he doesn't use Petach Amar, so what does he do with the double phrasing of Petach Amar? So, Mibayile, with the repeat of the phrase Petach Amar. So he mibayle, he uses it, he needs it for the following. L'chedetanya, for the braisa, it says as follows. Rabbi Yossi Aglili omer, mitoch shemar ach pados tifteh es b'chor adam, ves b'chor behemat mea tifteh, shomei ani afilu pitrei susum gmalim. From the pasuk alone, it just says that b'chor behemat mea tifteh, that you need pidyon even on non-kosher animals. Doesn't identify only chamor. It says a very general term, behemat mea. So I would think that even pitrei susum gmalim, that even a horse or a camel would require Peter, and as we said in the introduction to this Masechta, before we started the Masechta, that the only non-kosher animal that requires Pidyon, that has any sort of din of Bechor, is the Chamor. So I would have thought that it applies to Susim and Gemalim as well. Tamalomar, Peter Chamor. That's why the Pasuk identifies Dafka the Chamor. It's Peter Chamor, no other non-kosher animals. Peter Chamor, Amarti Lach, V'lo Pitre Susim and Gemalim. There is no din of Bechor by Susim and Gemalim. But Vadaina Niomer, I still might have said, that's only one Peter Chamor. Again, we're trying to figure out what Rabbi Yossi Aglili does with the repeat of the phrase Peter Chamor. So Vadaina Niomer, I still might say, Pitre Chamor b'seh Pitre Susum Gmalim b'chal davar. Maybe Peter Chamor is identified as the only non-kosher animal that's redeemed dafka by a seh, that you can only switch, you can only redeem for a seh. Maybe it's not telling me that other non-kosher animals are excluded from the entire din of Bechor. Maybe it's telling me that other non-kosher animals have a modified din. They also have a din of Bechor, but their redemption doesn't have to be with a seh. It could be even b'chal davar. Tamad omar, Peter Chamor. That's why the pasuk says Peter Chamor, Shnei Pa'amim. It says it twice. Pitre Chamor, Marti Lach, Velo Pitre Susum Gemalim. And that's to drive home the point that only Chamor has a din of Bechor, not Susum Gemalim. Amongst the non-kosher animals, only Chamor has a din of Bechor, not Susum Gemalim, not any other kinds of animals. That's what Rabbi Yossi Aglili does with the double phrasing of Peter Chamor, Peter Chamor. Sfasemis has the following kasha, but wait a second, he says. We could still say, even with the double Peter Chamor, maybe it's only teaching me that, only, that there's another detail about Peter Chamor, aside from the fact that it has some sort of status of Bechorah, and aside from the fact that it can only be redeemed for a seh, there's another detail about the halachos of Peter Chamor, and that is the mitzvah's arifa, the mitzvah to do the arifa of the Peter Chamor if you don't redeem it with a seh. Right? We discussed that in the introduction to the Masechta as well. So says the Sfasemis, maybe the double phrasing of Peter Chamor is there to teach me, one, to teach me that only Peter Chamor is Susum Gemalim could be even with other kinds of animals, and the other to teach me that only Peter Chamor has a mitzvah sarifa, everything else doesn't have a mitzvah sarifa, but maybe susum gemalim are still included in the din of Bechora. They still have a din. There's still some status to the Bechor. Just because you have a double phrasing of Petach Hamar, so how do you know that it's coming to exclude the susum gemalim from Bechora entirely? Maybe it's excluding them from the two dinim that are unique to Hamar, that the pidyon is Beseh, number one, and number two, that it has a mitzvah sarifa. So says the Sfas Emes, that you have to say that the Gemara assumes that the Chiddush of pidyon Beseh and the Chiddush of Arifa are one and the same. That it's one mitzvah, meaning that the mitzvah of Arifa is not separate from the fact that there's Pidyon Beseh. Because what happens? Once the Kedusha of the Chamar sets in, once you have this status of the firstborn Chamar, so you have to take care of it. How do you take care of it? Two options. Either be Pod Beseh or do Arifa. But they're both taking care of the same issue. Since they're both taking care of the same issue, it's illogical to assume that one halacha would apply and not the other. That you would only have one without, therefore I don't need two separate psukim to teach me those two issues, only applying to chamar and not applying to other animals. And that frees up a second pasuk to teach me that the whole din of bechora doesn't apply to other non-kosher animals and only applies to chamar itself. So it says the Gemara Vayter, Paruch Rav Achai. So whenever the Gemara says Paruch Rav Achai, the Tosfos in the beginning of, I think it was Maseches Ksuvos, raised the issue, who is this Rav Achai? Because we know that there is a very well-known Rav Achai, who is Rav Achai Gaon. But the Gaonim, typically, we like to assume, didn't write the Gemara. The Gemara was written by Ravina and Ravashi. So there are definitely additions from Gaonim added into our text of Talmud Bavli. The Rishonim already point out in several sugyas, Ramban at the beginning of Gittin, if I'm not mistaken, says a whole Lamed over there was written by the Gaonim. The Rabban Savarai or the Gaonim. So there definitely are additions, but I believe Tosfos writes that this is not Rav Achai Gaon, and that different Amoraim have their own, meaning some wanted to say, that's where do you ever find Parich Rav so-and-so in the Gemara? You never find such a thing. So maybe they dafka put it, maybe that's an indication that it was post-Talmudic, that it was, this is not Gemara language to say, does it ever say Parich Ravashi? It never says that in the Gemara. So maybe that's an indication that this is post-Talmudic, so says Tosfos, no. It's not an indication of anything, because what you do find is that certain Amoraim have their own language, meaning when certain Amoraim speak, it's Megadiv Bar Rabbi Avo. So no one else is Megadiv Bar. It's only Dafka Megadiv Bar Rabbi Avo. That certain Amoraim, the way they introduce their speech, the Gemara introduces their speech, for whatever reason, is unique to that Amora. So Rav Achai may have been an Amora, and it's unique to Rav Achai to have Paruch Rav Achai. So Paruch Rav Achai, but anyway, just to understand what's Pshat in our Gemara, Rav Achai asked the following, Ikas Rachman Achad, maybe had I only had the word Petach Hamar once, Havamina Dover Shayi Bechlal, I would have applied the Yudgim Midos, one of the Yudgim Midos Shantar Dreshben, that anything that was included in the general category of Behemah Tameya. And now it's taken out of the category and identified singularly as Petach Hamar. It's not coming to be Melamed Al Atzmo, it's coming to teach about the Klal Kulo, it's coming to teach about all non-kosher animals. So Liolam Beseh. And therefore maybe I should say that the Peter of Chamorim Vesusim is Beseh, that it requires Peter, and it's Beseh. So Kasar Rachman and Petach Hamar Achrina. That's why I have the second Petach Hamar to teach me Petach Hamar and Vol Petri Susum Gemalim. That only Petach Hamar and not Petach Susum Gemalim is done Beseh. So Ve'ema Mi'atinu Miseh Uliyol B'Kal Davar. But if that's the case, we still need a pasuk to tell me that there's no din of Bechor whatsoever by Susum Gemalim. Meaning we said Rabbi Yossi Aglili uses the second pasuk of Petach Hamar to teach me that there's no din whatsoever of Bechor by Susum Gemalim. But how do you know? Maybe Rabbi Yossi Aglili needs that second pasuk of Petach Hamar just to teach me that by other animals you can't use a, you don't need to dafka use a seh, that it's only by chamar that you need to use a seh. And Memele doesn't have a pasuk to teach me that by other non-kosher animals there's no din of bechora whatsoever. So we're back to square one. So says Gemara Imkein Lichtav Rachmana Petach Hamar Tifta Beseh V'Chamar Tifta Beseh. If that's all it wanted to teach me, it should have phrased it Petach Hamar Tifta Beseh V'Chamar Tifta Beseh. The word Petach should have only appeared once. Petach Hamar Tifta Beseh. Peter Chamor Tifta Beseh Lameli Peter Chamor Marti Lachvul Petri Susum Gemalim. So it must be from the extra word we're darshaning that there is no din of Peter of Bechora whatsoever by Susum and gemalim. So v'tana didan lemutei susum gemalim inalei. Good. So now that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili doesn't use petach amar to teach me that an animal that comes to teach me that mother and child both need to look like a chamar. He uses it to teach me that susum and gemalim are not included in the din of bechora. What about the Tana Var Mishnah, who already uses petach amar to teach me that both mother and child need to look like a chamar? Where is he going to learn the din to be mimayit susum and gemalim? Some Rav Papa kol miknecha, excuse me, kol miknecha ti zachar. The pasuk says that's a klal shor v'sev chamar prat. And what's the rule whenever you have a klal prat? Klal prat ain bechlal el masha beprat. The klal is limited to what the prat says, and therefore we darshin shor v'sev chamar in midyachin ilal. Only animals like shor seh and chamar are included in the din of bechora. Anything else like a sus and a gamal is excluded. Rabbi Yossi Aglili would say you can't darshin a klal prat over there. Peter hifsike inyan, because the word peter breaks up the klal prat. So you can't, because what does it say? Kol peter rechem li v'chol miknecha tizachar peter shor v'seh. So you can't darshan klal prat. V'rabbanan vav hadar arvi kra. V'rabbanan will say, no, but there's a vav shor v'seh, so therefore it comes to remix it again. So it tells me that the pasuk should be mixed back together again, and therefore it's not a problem. Rabbi Yossi, meaning it's not, we don't assume hifzike inyan. Rabbi Yossi Aglili would say, well then, lo lichtav lo vav lo peter. Instead of having peter to break up the inyan, and then vav to bring it back together, why don't you just write neither? V'rabbanan aidi da hakadushas dam hakadushas aguf pasuk luhu v'adar arv luhu, that we dafka want to break it up and then put it back together to show that they're in slightly different categories, in that one is kedushas damim and one is kedushas aguf. As we said, the peter chamar is only kedushas damim, because the chamar you never bring as a karban. There's no din of bringing the chamar as a karban. Just as kedushas damim, you have to redeem it for a seh. But the firstborn of other animals, of kosher animals, so you do bring as a karban. So it has actual kedushas haguf. So that's why the pasuk wants to draw a distinction between them. But since they have the same halachos, they're being used as part of the same drasha, the Torah tries to rejoin them with the vav. But it's important to first split them to show that the nature of their kedushas bechor is entirely different from each other. Fine. Now the Gemara poses three questions, three halachic queries. Ibayluhu parashi yolda min chamor v'yesh bo miktsas siman mahu. What if a cow gives birth to a baby that looks like a chamor, but it has certain simanim that make it look like a cow? What's the din? Eiz sheyolda min Rachel, v'Rachel sheyolda min Eiz, d'chi yesh miksas simanim chayavis b'b'chora da Torah v'hatora? Do you say that it's dafka when a goat gives birth to a sheep or vice versa, that that's where you're going to say that it's chayav and b'chora when there's miksas simanim, because at least they're both kosher animals, so they both have the same technical status. They're both, either one would be chayav in the same type of b'chora. They both have kedush saguf, they both be regular b'choros. Ha-kedush saguf, ha-kedush saguf. Ha-cha da-ha-temeh v'ha-tahora, ha-kedush saguf, ha-kedush damim lo. But maybe over here, where you're dealing with a para that gave birth to a chamor, or vice versa, where it's true, chamor has a din of bechor, para may have a din of bechor, but they're different from each other. That the para has kedush saguf, chamor doesn't. Chamor is a non-kosher animal. So maybe even with miktsas simanim, it would not be chayiv. Or maybe since they're both subject to the Kedushas Bechor, both a para and a chamar are technically subject to some sort of Kedushas Bechor, the fact that it has miksa simanim is enough to say it's chayiv and bechora. That is shaila number one. So again, shaila number one, para that gives birth to a chamar, or vice versa, and it has miksa simanim. Is that enough to have Kedushas Bechor? Shaila number two, Vimtim Tzolomar Kivin Di Idi V'Idi Mikdash B'Bechora Kadosh, if you're going to say that since they're both Mikdash B'Bechora, they're both Kadosh, meaning if you're going to say that the answer to the first question is that the child is Chayiv in Bechora, that it does have a din of Bechor, Chamor Shiyolda Min Sus Mahu, what if a Chamor gives birth to a Sus? Do you say hachavade lav bas mikdash b'becharahu, that the sus is obviously not something that's subject to bechara? We just darshan both bein Rabbi Yosef Glili bein Rabbanan. We show drushus why the sus is excluded from bechara. Odin lakivin de min tameya hu kadosh. Or do you say that since it's part of it's a min tameya, meaning it's coming from it's similar to the mother in that it is a tameya, it should be kadosh? Meaning anything that comes out of a chamor is a chamor. I don't care if it looks like a sus. It's a chamar, and therefore, it's as long as it looks like a non-kosher animal, so it's good. We count it like a chamar, and it would be kadosh. That is shayla number two. Shayla number three. Im timtza lomar kivin demin tameyahu kadosh, if you're going to say that when a chamar gives birth to a sus, that the sus has kedushas bechar, parashi aldamin sus mahu, what if a kosher animal gives birth to a sus? Do we say that it's sufficiently dissimilar from the mother that it shouldn't have kedushas bechar? Or do we say it's the same thing as a chamar giving birth to a sus? Hacha vaday hatar vatameya ha bas mikdush b'bechar va la bas mikdush b'bechara? Do you say that it's so dissimilar to the mother in that the mother's a kosher animal, the child's not a kosher animal, mother is subject to bechara, the child's min, sus in general, is not subject to bechara? Odilma siman milsihi. Or maybe you say, the fact that the child has some simanim of a para, even though it generally looks like a sus, and its mother was a para, means that it is a para, and therefore it has kedusha. So that is shayla number three. The Gemara raises three shaylas. Again, first shayla is a para that gives birth to a chamor, or vice versa. Im timtzilomar, that does have kedusha, what about if chamar gives birth to a sus? Im timtzilomar, that has kedusha, what about a para that gives birth to a sus? So what's the, before we get to the Tashamaz, to the Gemara's Rayas, it's interesting to note that Rambam paskins, that a para shiolda kamin chamar, and has certain simani para, it's a bechar lekohen, since it's a min hachamar, yesh bo din bechar. But if it was, so meaning on Shaila number one, on Shaila number, part of the Yaldam and Chamar is Shaila number, what is that? Was that any of them? Chamar Yaldam and Sus, no, wasn't Shaila number two. First one was Parish, yeah, that was Shaila number one. Parish Yaldam and Chamar, so the Rambam writes, Parish Yaldam and Chamar, so does have a din of Bechor, so he's Machmir. He writes, if a part is yoled a sus or gamal, even though it has certain simanim of a para, it's a suffek bechar, meaning shayla number three, he says, is a suffek. And shayla number two, the Rambam paskins, that a chamar sheyolda kamin sus is pater. So he holds that, but if it has simanim mixas bechar, mixas simanim chamor, then it's going to be chayiv. So the Rambam basically, in shayla number one, shayla number two is machmir, Shaila number three says he's Mesupak. What's Pshat? All three Shailas are raised together. Why would you be Machmir in the first two and Mesupak on the third one? So the Kesav Mishnah explains in Hilchos Becharos, where this Rambam first appears. The Rambam is in Hilchos Becharos Perek Beis Halacha Vav. Kesav Mishnah explains that the Rambam's derech in reading a series of shailas in the Gemara when there's an imtim tzilomar is that if the Gemara says, okay, what's the halacha, A or B? And if the halacha is B, imtim tzilomar B, then do you say C or D? The Rambam will always pass on like B. Because the Gemara only asks further, Imtim Salamar, if it's leaning in that direction. So that's the Rambam's derech. So that's why the Rambam's machmir in the first two cases. Because what did the Gemara say? Gemara raises a shayla. Parash yeldam in chamar, what's the din? Im timtzilomar, that it is kadosh. So then what's going to be the din when the chamar sheyoldam in sus? So you see that the parash yeldam in chamar must be kadosh. And then it says, when chamar sheyoldam in sus, im timtzilomar, that's kadosh. Then what's going to be the din when a par is null at a sus? So you see that chamar sheyoldam in sus is kadosh. By the third one, there's no imtim tzilomar to identify which side to go with. So the Rambam says suffik. Fine, let's see the Gemara's rayas. Toshima happens to be the Rush doesn't pass in that way. The Rush passes on the suffik rishon. The first suffik he paskins that it's chayiv vaday, that it's not a din suffik, it's a din vaday, that it's chayiv is machmir. The second and third one he says it's chayiv mi din suffik. But so the Rush must have a different derech hapsak in imtim tzilomar than the Rambam does. Okay, but let's see the Gemara's right. Toshima behema torish yaldamin behema tmeya patur min abachora. Im yeshva mitzayat simanim chayav zbechora a behemah Torah that gives birth to a non-kosher animal, so it's positive from bechor. But if the child has certain simanim of kashrus that are like the mother, then it's chayiv in bechora. So my lava feel parah she yaldam in sus. Isn't this talking about even in case number three where it's a parah she yaldam in sus that it's going to be chayiv in bechora? So we've just answered shaila number three. Says Gemara lo. Parash Yolda Min Chamor. It's not talking about that. It's talking about Shaila number one, where you have a Parash Yolda Min Chamor, not a Parash Yolda Min Sus. So that's where we're going to say it's Chayv and Bechora. So if that's the case, you see, that's a strong indication that we should paskin L'chumra on Shaila number one. Okay, Tashma, let's bring another Raya. Parash Yolda Min Chamor V'chamor, Shiyolda Min Sus, Ptura Min Bechora. That is Shaila number one and Shaila number two. We said it's Potter from Bechora, but Im Yesh from Mikza Simanum Chayavis B'Bechora. That's the answer to Shaila one and two. That if it has miksa simanim, both cases 1 and 2, you're going to be chayiv in bechora. My lava travayu, isn't that line of having miksa simanim being chayiv going on both cases 1 and 2? And so Gemara, lo, aparash yeldam in chamar. It's only going on case number 1. So again, the second indication that at least in case number 1, you would paskin l'chumra. That's probably why the Rush paskins l'chumra vadai in case number 1. Cases number 2 and 3, the Gemara was never poshet, so the Rush will paskin misafik. Aval chamar sheyoldem in sus, lemaika tanila. So then why would it tell me the case of chamar sheyoldem in sus, of case number 2, if it's not going to tell me that it's chayiv when it has miksa simanim? So why does it tell it to me? Leptura, just to tell me that if it has no simanim, it's going to be pater. So pshita, hashto ma parah sheyoldem in chamar di idividi b'nei miktosh b'b'chor ninu amrit, im yesh b'miksa simanim in v'ilo lo, if we're going to say that when a parah gives birth to a chamar, that if it doesn't have any simanim whatsoever of the mother, it's going to be pater from bechora. So chamar sheyoldem in sus mi bayi. So of course, when a chamar gives birth to a sus, it's going to be pater. After all, by a parah sheyoldem in chamar, at least both mother and child are of a min that normally would have some status of bechora. But by a chamar sheyoldem in sus, the child is not of a min. That's chayiv in bechora anyway. So what's the whole chiddush of telling me a case in the brisa of chamar sheyoldem in sus, that it's pater from bechora? So says Gemara Itzrich. Sal kedai to chasmu diyesh lakarnayim v'ha in lakarnayim ha-parsasa stukos ha-parsasa kalutos. I might have thought that over there, when do we say that it's pater? When mother has horns, child doesn't. Mother has split hooves, child doesn't. Aval ha-cha di-idi v'idi in lakarnayim. Karnayim v'idi v'idi parsasa kalutos em ha-chamor edom bi-almahu. But when it's a chamor that gives birth to a sus, I would say, well, since but neither of them have simanim of kashrus, so the child should have a din of a red chamor, meaning it looks like a horse, but really it's just a colorful donkey. So come Ashmelon. Therefore comes tell me that no, if it looks like a sus, it's a sus. If it has no simanim whatsoever of the mother, it looks like a sus, it's a sus. So that's the that's why I need to be told that case of a chamor sheyolda min sus, that it's pater from bechora. One might have thought that it's chayv from bechora because anything that comes out of a chamor that's not kosher, that doesn't have any of the simanei kashrus, you might have thought automatically takes on the status of a chamor itself. Okay, weiter in the Gemara now. Umahin b'achila. So the Mishnah had raised the question, what about eating an animal that doesn't look like its mother? Meaning, you have a kosher animal, gives birth to an animal that looks like a non-kosher animal. So the Mishnah had said, mutter b'achila. What if you have a non-kosher animal, gives birth to something that looks like a kosher animal? Aser b'achila. So basically, what did the Mishnah say? We follow the mother. It all depends on whether the mother was kosher, not whether the child it looks like a kosher animal or not. All depends whether the mother is a kosher animal. Says Gemara, Lamili l'misni sheyotzi simana bi'almuhu, delotif lamili l'misni shehayotze. Why does the Mishnah have to then sum it up by saying, shehayotze minatame tameh veyotze minatar tahar? That anything that comes out of a non-kosher animal is non-kosher, anything that comes out of a kosher animal is kosher. You already told us the halacha, that if a kosher animal gives birth to a non-kosher animal, it's not, it is kosher. So why do you have to, and that if a non-kosher animal gives birth to a kosher animal, it's not kosher. So why do you have to then sum it up by giving me a rule? So, simana be'almuhu, delo tichlaf lach. The Gemara is just, the Mishnah is just trying to give you an easy way to remember it so that you shouldn't become confused. Delo tema zil basre didei, that one shouldn't mess up the gears in the Mishnah and say, oh, what was it again? That when a non-kosher animal gives birth to a kosher, then it's kosher? And you might, that's very easily confused. A person might think that. So that's why we make an easy to remember phrase. Hayotze min atar, hayotze min atame. Then you always know that we follow the mother, and then you're not going to have to remember the exact girsa of the Mishnah. Vaitar malyu, vaitame malyuhu, elzil basarime. So that's what it tells me, you follow the mother. Minani mili, how do I know that you follow the mother, that everything is zil basarime? So says, we have a braisa. Ach ezel osochli mimale agerim mafrisi aparsa. There are animals that are malagero mafris parsa, meaning that have all the simanim of kashrus, yet you can't eat them. That's talking about, let's say, a cow whose mother happened to have been a non-kosher animal. A pig gives birth to a cow, or whatever, a donkey gives birth to a cow, so it's going to be non-kosher. But how do you know that? Maybe it's talking about a non-kosher animal who gives birth to, who was born from a kosher mother. Maybe that's what it's telling me, that you're not allowed to eat it. Umay mimale ager mafrisa aparsa. Then what do you do with the pasuk mimale ager mafrisa aparsa? Hachi ka'amar. Dover haba mimale ager mafrisa aparsa l'techol. Not that it's telling me there's such a thing as an animal that itself has kosher simanim, that you're not allowed to eat. No, maybe it's telling me there's such a thing as an animal whose mother has kosher simanim, that comes from an animal that has kosher simanim, and still you're not allowed to eat that animal. Maybe that's what it's telling me. Tamalomar gamal tamehu. That's why we pass a gamal tamehu. Hu tameh ve'ein tameh anol minatar tameh. It is non-kosher, but a non-kosher animal that comes from a kosher animal is not going to be tameh. It will, in fact, be kosher. Elo tahar. Rather, it will be kosher. Rabbi Shimon Omer, gamal shnei pamim. Echad gamal anol min hagamal, v'echad gamal anol min hapara. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with this. Rabbi Shimon says, if you have an animal that looks like a non-kosher animal, it's not kosher. It doesn't matter who its mother was. Even if its mother was a para, Rabbi Shimon disagrees with our Mishnah. Even if its mother was a para, simply not kosher. This whole sugya of... just to mention parenthetically, I want to give a share on this one day, is this whole sugya of Yotzi Min HaTohar and Yotzi Min HaTame is very nogea to the very fancy coffee. I don't know if you read about this in the news in recent years. There's it's something like $50 a cup or something for a certain type of coffee that's supposed to be delicious. Supposedly it takes away all the bitterness. There's a certain type of coffee bean that there are certain roaches or maggots or something that swallow it. And it goes through the digestive system, and when it comes out, the enzymes or whatever inside that little rodent or whatever it is that swallows it, whatever comes out delicious. And they grind it up, and it comes out in the excrement. And it's like the biggest delicacy that people charge exorbitant sums of money. So shailiz, is that kosher? Do you say, that's a coffee bean, so a coffee bean's a coffee bean? Or do you say, no, it's yotzi min hatameh. So that which is yotze min hatameh is tameh, meaning it was excreted by a non-kosher animal. So this is the sugya that answers that shayla. It's a very, it's not really a very important shayla, hopefully. Most of us aren't getting that coffee anyway. But if you're spending that kind of money on a cup of coffee, you got other issues. But that's this sugya. Rabbanan, hai gamal mai avdilei. The Rabbanan, what are they? I mean, this is also the sugya of pig milk and everything else, but that's what makes it a little more exciting. Rabbanan, hai gamal gamal mai avdilei. What did the Rabbanan do with gamal, with the double expression of gamal? Chadas, meaning the Rabbanan who think that which is a kosher animal that gives birth to a non-kosher animal, the Rabbanan think it's kosher. So what do they do with the double expression of gamal? Chadas ratzman, chadas rachelbo. Want to tell me that when a gamal gives birth to a kosher animal, that not only is the animal itself asur, the chelev of the animal is also asur. Rabbi Shimon lesser chelbo minale. How does he know to asur the chelev? Nafkle me es hagamal. He learns it from es hagamal. For Rabbanan, esim lo darshi, and the Rabbanan, nach chelev, the chalav, the milk of a female gamal that comes out from. The milk of female gamal is going to be non-kosher. For Rabbanan esim lo darshi, and the Rabbanan don't darshin es. Why don't they darshin es? So Kedetanya, we know the whole discussion about whether you can darshin in es in the Torah or not. Shimon Amsuni yadoresh kol es ve'esha b'Torah. Shimon Amsuni sat and darshined every single time the Torah said the word es. Kivin shigia les Hashem elokecha tira pirish. As soon as he got to the pasuk es Hashem elokecha tira, he had to stop darshining esim. Amr lo tamidav Rebbe, kalas and shidrasha matay aleim. What's going to be with all your gevaldika drashas? You had so many beautiful drashas in the word es. So Amr lehem, k'shem shekibalti schar al adrisha, kach ani mekabel schar al aprisha. Just like I got schar for trying to darshan every es, I'll get schar for stopping to darshan, because now that I discovered that it's not MS, that those drashas are not the truth of Torah. Ad Shabar Rabbi Akiva Vlimei, until Rabbi Akiva came along and Rabbi Akiva says, no, we could save all the drushes. There's something to do with Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, the Rabbos Tamidei Chachamim. That's to tell me, a din of Yiras Tamidei Chachamim. That's what the Es is coming to be Marba. Mainly we can save all of the Esim that Shimon HaMsuni had previously darshaned. If you look at Tosas number 11, Tosas asks, wait, he was Porish as soon as he saw Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. Fractosim Tom Lukma Bekibir Aveim, Dimash Vakvod and Lakvod Makom. Why don't you say that that's there to teach me Kibbut Aveim? Because after all, the Gemara says explicitly that we equate the kavod one gives to one's parents with the kavod one gives to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed and Beis darshens from Pasuk that Gimel Shutvin Yesh Ba'Adam, that there are three partners in making man, Aviv V'Ima V'Akadosh Baruch Hu. And when you're Mechabed Aviv V'Ima, Akadosh Baruch Hu considers it Ki'ilu Darbe Ne'em Mechabdeni, that it's as if I lived amongst them and they honor me as well. And if you dishonor your parents, so Akadosh Baruch Hu considers it as if you dishonor him. So wouldn't that be the logical thing to darshan from the word S? Why Shimon HaMsuni? Why didn't Shimon HaMsuni think of that? It's such an obvious one. Such a good one. That's probably why the mitzvah of Kibbut HaVeim, even though ostensibly it's a mitzvah Bein Adam L'Chavero, appears on the right side of the Aseres HaDibros, amongst all the Bein Adam L'Makom. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it personally. A person has to honor the mother and father because they're partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, Chayadam, I just mentioned yesterday on Shabbos, I was giving a shir, Chayadam says that the mitzvah of Kibbut HaVeim is unique in that, well, not so unique, but there is a requirement of Kibbut HaVeim, b'dibur, b'maisa, u'b'machshava. So what does that mean? B'dibur, you have to speak nicely to your parents and about your parents. Good. You're not allowed to interrupt them, you're not allowed to argue with them. B'maisa, of course, you have to give them to drink, to eat, do their grocery shopping, whatever you can, help them get dressed, whatever you can do to help them out. B'machshava, says the Chayadav, a person has to view his parents as gedolei olam. Person has to think of his parents as gedolei olam. They're regular plain Jane, normal people, they're nothing special, they're not the Tamidei Chacham, doesn't matter. You view them as gedolei olam. That's how a person has to think about his parents. How could you do that? Because they're partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're worthy partners of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mainly you have to view them as gedolei olam. So Frek tells us, very strong kasha. Why don't we darshan S, so yeshla, to include parents? Yeshlam demashim le'dum yamora shel makom, v'zeh I efshar. He says, still, it's not the same kind of mora that you have for parents that you have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Kiva says that he can include Tamid Chacham because mor rabcha is kemora shemayim, meaning that we have explicitly that mor rabcha is kemora shemayim. But mora of your parents is not kemora shemayim. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says when you honor them, it's as if you're honoring me, but it's not. Meaning I will take that as when you honor my friends, you're honoring me, but not that in any way your parents are in place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of the type of honor that you show your parents. If you think about it, Kibbut HaVeim, all the types of honor are things that aren't shayach really to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a different type of honor altogether. Fine. So the Makne in Maseches Kiddushin, where the same Gemara appears in Kiddushin Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, raises the following question: what was so difficult about this pasuk that Shimon HaMsuni was Porish Dafka when he got to Parshas Ve'eschanan, when he hit this pasuk? In that same parsha, there's an earlier pasuk that should have caused him fits also. Pasuk says Leman Tira Es Hashem Elokecha. So it's also an S, and it's also about Yiras Hashem. Why didn't he have a problem with that pasuk? So the Machne answers that Shimon HaMsuni knew that S could be Marbet Tamid Chachamim, because it's the Farish Apostle that there's such a din of Mora, Legabe Arav. It says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayiru Migeshas Elav. It says, Madua lo Yeresem Ledaber Ba'avdi B'Moshe. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Moser to whatchamacallit, to Aaron and Miriam. So what was he bothered by? The S in the end of the parsha, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, what's that coming to add? Talmid Chacham already nisraba at the beginning of the parsha. I mean, it wasn't that he didn't think Talmid Chacham belonged in the drasha. He thought Talmid Chacham do belong in the drasha, but they're already included in an earlier drasha. So what's this S coming to teach me? But Chazal tell us, Kavod Chavircha Chavala Alecha Kimara Rabcha. No, what Rabbi Akiva is adding is that Es Hashem Elokecha Tira teaches me that not only do you have to honor your Rebbe the way you would, not only do you have to have Mora for your Rebbe the way you have Mora for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but even if somebody is a Rebbe and he's your Chaver, he's an equal with you, but he's roy to be a Rebbe, he's a Talmud Chacham, Mora, there's a din of Mora. And why was it Rabbi Akiva who taught such a drasha? Because Rabbi Akiva is the one whose Talmidim were not Mechabed Zazed, they didn't show proper honor to each other. Rabbi Akiva says, I learned the din the hard way, that Es Hashem Elokecha Tira teaches me, not only the Rabbis Talmidim Chacham for your Rebbe, but Talmid Chachamim, another Talmud Chacham, even if you're just as big as him, there's still a din of Mora. That's why I took a Rabbi Akiva to come and teach that din. A beautiful vart from the Makna. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now. Sounds like, had we not had a special drasha, one would have thought that the milk of a non-kosher animal is mutter. That non-kosher animals, all the byproducts are not kosher. So we already darshan that all byproducts are not kosher. Why would I have thought then the milk is kosher? Now, I might have thought that since even the milk of a kosher animal, it's a chiddush that it's kosher. Because where does the milk come from? Biologically, the Gemara says, it comes from the blood. Okay, you have to figure out how biologically that's actually true. Rabbi Tendler has all the explanation of the same hormones that go to produce that are used in blood production, actually produce the milk of a nursing mother, whatever, he has all the explanation. And he knows a lot more about biology than I do, so we'll take it. So one would have thought that the milk of even a kosher animal should be not kosher. He knows a lot more Torah than I do also, but that it should be not kosher because it's a din of blood. The kivin techidush should be bein mitmei nami l'shari. So once it's a chiddush, we might as well have said that even for a non-kosher animal, the milk should be kosher. Kamash one therefore tells me otherwise. Says Marhani, Chaman Yom Adam Nachman Asachal Vel Man Dam Adam Eivar Amisparkanim Adavei Nafsha Chazar Saladash From Arba Chodesh Meikel Meimar. That's great if you hold that the milk of a nursing mother comes from blood. But if you hold the milk of a nursing mother doesn't come from blood, rather the milk of a nursing mother is just comes from the fact that its body goes through changes for 24 months. So then what are you going to say the dinner? And that's why that's why it doesn't get its period for 24 months, a mother doesn't get her period for 24 months, because her body goes through changes, and goes through all sorts of hormonal changes, but nothing to do, or the trauma of childbirth, or whatever, but nothing to do with dam. So then what are you going to say? So Yisrach, Salkad, Hayi Chamina Hol, V'laka Midi Da'asi, Machi, V'shari Rachmana, V'hai Chalav, Ki Ever, Da'asi Mechai, V'shari Rachmana, I might have thought, since there's no such thing of something that comes off of a live animal, that's actually mutter, V'hai Chalav, Ki Ever, Menachayu, V'shari, and this chal of milk is like Aver Menachayim, is therefore mutter, Vilka Chafil Bebehem Tmei Lishtri, and therefore it should even be mutter on a non-kosher animal, Kamashma, and therefore comes to tell me that no, that Chalav of Bebehem Tmei is not kosher. We have another minute, let's call a little weiter, V'chalav Bebehem Tmei Minal and Shari. How do I know that milk is taka kosher? Right, very fundamental question. Isn't it Aver Menachay? How do you know that milk is kosher? So, milk of a cow. So if you say, well, if the Torah tells me I can't have basar b'chalav, that implies I can have chalav. No, maybe chalav alone I'm not allowed to eat, but I am allowed to get anah. Basar b'chalav anah nami asr. When the Torah asks basar b'chalav, it's just adding that it's also asr b'anah. And even according to Rabbi Shimon, who thinks basar b'chalav is mutar b'anah, he would say that the din of basar b'chalav is just telling me that you get malchus for cooking it, which you don't get for milk. But milk alone maybe would really be asr. So how do I know milk is mutar? El midgal rachman the psulim mukdashin tizbach v'lo giza basar v'lo chalav haduchul in shari. From the fact that it has to tell me about psulim mukdashin that basar v'lo chalav, it tells me that regular chalav of a regular chulin animal is mutar. Ve'im haduchul in asr ba'achil v'shari ba'anah dekachim ba'anah nami asr. Maybe it's telling me that chulin milk is asr ba'achil and mutar ba'anah, but kachim is more chamer that it's even asr ba'anah. El midchsev v'di chalav izam lachm chalav lachem beischa. So it comes to tell me that as part of a bracha that you're going to have chalav, so that's obviously an indication that you're allowed to enjoy the drinking of chalav. Okay, we're still in the middle of an inyan, but I'll see you next Tuesday. What can I tell you? Okay.